I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, and we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeedy. So, hopefully no coughing this week. I'm done with that. Don't like it. So, not going to do it. Anyway, we do have some stuff this week to talk about on the old netcast, audio podcast, for those of you listening via audio. Although, if you do, let me say this. If you do listen to the audio podcast version of this show, you'll miss stuff. Yes. Like, for instance, I'm holding something in my hand, but you don't know what it is. Those of you watching the video go, oh, I know what it is. It's just a mouse. It's not a big deal. But anyway, see, you miss things. So you should watch this show sometime on the actual video version. But, you know, if you're listening on audio, I'm good with that, too. So anyway, items we have this week, starting with Google Now, has been updated on Chromebooks. Now, you know I like my Chromebook. It's got a touch screen and everything, which is cool. But it's fun to use a Chromebook because whenever I'm using my Chromebook, I'm using a version of Linux. Now, it's hidden by all the chrominess, but it's basically Linux, which means I'm not using Microsoft, which means it's a good day. You see? So when you use your Chromebook, when you pick your Chromebook up and you begin to use it, think, ha, I'm not using Microsoft. It will make you happy. Does me. Anyway, Chromebook users have gotten, if they will update their Chromebooks, which by the way, if you notice down in the corner of your Chromebook, you're using it and you see this little arrow thing. That's telling you there's an update available. And all you got to do is reboot. If you reboot, you get the update, and you get new stuff. Now, sometimes it's just bug fixes, but sometimes it's something important. Well, not that bug fixes aren't important, but you know what I mean. Something more interesting than simply a bug fix. Maybe I should put it that way. Anyway, Android users have the access of Google Now. They've had that for a while now. And even though it may not, let's try that again. Even though it may not have picked up as anticipated, users are utilizing it. It has been used by those Android users who would probably be searching a program capitalizing on full Android integration as well as all things which Google will bring by connecting the application through one interface. Chromebook users will be the next set of people to have access to the software as Google is planning to roll out the Google Now launcher for the Chrome OS beta channel. So you can be among the first, if you're a Chrome OS beta user, to use this new update. The update will result in Chromebook users getting access to the Google Now app launcher. So there you go. The new launcher is amazing and brings fresh activities on Chrome OS, such as launching apps or performing Google searches from the new app. So that's cool. Personally, I don't use the beta channel. I use the full production regular channel because I want my Chromebook to just work. I don't want to have to be dealing with beta-iness. So, but down the line, they'll roll it out into the real regular channel. So that would be good. Next item, LibreOffice is coming online. You say, what? What are you talking about, Dr. Bill? Well, I'll tell you it's what I'm talking about. Is, for instance, you know, like Microsoft Office 365 is available via a web interface. In other words, you just go out to the website, you log in, and you have it. Well, they're planning something like that for LibreOffice. Dude. So, According to Open Source News by Scott Nesbitt, if you're looking for a free and open source alternative to Google Drive or the Microsoft Office Online product, you'll have a hard time finding it. Indeed. While there are services like Framasoft and Sandstorm, they're collections of disparate applications that won't work all that well together. However, two companies, IceWarp and Collabora, are coming together to bring the popular open-source LibreOffice Productivity Suite online. The online version, called LibreOffice Online, how original, is intended to guarantee complete document cross-compatibility with the desktop version of LibreOffice, according to InfoWorld. There's currently no release date for LibreOffice Online. The first releases won't pack all the features and functions of the desktop version. According to Collabora, the online edition will only have a subset of the features available in the LibreOffice desktop versions. But if IceWarp and Collabora succeed, this could be big for LibreOffice. Indeed. And I think that's a good thing. Because there are people that don't want to install a full productivity suite, even though it's free. I don't know why they want to do that. But anyway, but now they can get it directly from the web, which is good. All right, next item, Pebble Watch breaks the Kickstarter record. This is pretty amazing. Pebble Watch put up a fairly, reasonable amount of money that they were looking to get on Kickstarter for their new Pebble Watch. However, the feeding frenzy of contributors got to be so intense on Tuesday, February 24th of 2015, that they were able to raise $1 million in 40 minutes. The campaign is now over, and Pebble has raised over $20 million from 78,000 supporters. This broke the record of fastest project to raise $1 million, which was 49 minutes before they did it in 40. Pebble also became the most funded campaign in Kickstarter's history after receiving more than $13.3 million in pledges after the first week. $13.3 million in the first week. Dude! Apparently there are people out there that want watches, smartwatches. I'm kind of like, what? I don't even have a regular watch. Haven't worn one since like the 80s. Maybe even the 70s. That's the 1970s and 80s for those of you in Rio Linda. Anyway! So, this is odd. I don't know what the big fascination is with smart watches anyway. Some of us are just smart without a watch. Yeah. So you say. Anyway, next item is a bit of geek culture. I like geek culture because it gives us something odd to look at on the old netcast. Indeed. And this one is pretty odd. This is an animation of an animator using animation software to create animated characters that are giving them a hard time. Basically, the animator won't let the character drink his coffee. And if you have been a coffee drinker, you know that's a bad thing. So the little animated guy gets a little put out that the animator won't let him drink his coffee. So the animator, the animated guy keeps doing things to annoy the animator. So finally the animator says, "Fooey on this, I'll just put a dinosaur in there to chase him." Yeesh. So the animator has revenge. Yes. So, that will teach you not to play around with your animations or your animator if you are an animation. If you're an animation, you're probably not watching this show. Just say it. Whoa! Yes, that's Geek Software of the Week drum roll, which Fred loves to tease me with. But anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week is related to the last item, which was about geek culture and the animator. So I got to thinking to myself, I said, why don't we have animation software that's open source and free and available so that you can be the evil animator? Ha ha ha! Yes! And you can give your own animated guy a hard time. Yee. Anyway, sounds rather Sithy. But anyway, so Geek Software League this week is Synfig Studio. Yes, S-Y-N-F-I-G Fig, Synfig Studio, as Fred has put it up on the screen. Thank you, Fred. Anyway, since the Geek Software Animation was about animation, I thought it would be nice to give you your own opportunity to do animation. So Synfig Studio is a free and open source 2D animation software designed as powerful industrial strength solution for creating film quality animation using vector and bitmap artwork. It eliminates the need to create animation frame by frame, allowing you to produce 2D animation of a higher quality with fewer people and resources, which is good because I only have one of me. If I had many of me, I could get more done, but I only have one. So this software allows you to be one person doing many things in the animated realm. The features include spatial resolution independence, because we all need that. Whatever that is, it says most elements are vector-based and all layers are parametrically generated. Hence, even when changing the target resolution of a project, the only pixelation will occur in imported raster images, not the built-in components. Well said, sir. Whoa. Anyway, the features are worth reading. Believe me. Temporal resolution independence. Animation keyframes are automatically interpolated by the computer, resulting in smooth motion. And they call that temporal resolution independence. Hard to say. High dynamic range imaging, or HDRI. By using floating point math in the image calculations, HDRI processing allows canvases to internally understand a far greater range of pixel luminance, resulting in better lighting effects and improved color composition. That's just so cool to say. Anyway, pen tablet friendly tools. The Draw 2 already reads the pressure sensitivity channel of your favorite tablets for natural line weighting, with more to come. Artist-oriented design. While it may not be obvious in this early state, Synfig and its proprietary predecessors has been designed from the ground up with animation workflow in mind. Path-based gradients. Unlike pure SVG-based vector software, the most consumer-level animation program, Synfig has full support for gradient paths, gradients that follow along a drawn shape. This allows artists to easily add soft shading to animation without the trouble of painting it into every frame. I'm for that, because, you know, doing it on every single frame over and over, that would get boring. And cool animation is not about boring. And finally, layers. Synfig supports the multiple layers of various types: geometric, gradients, filters, distortions, transformations, fractal, and a few others. Dude! Now, I have no idea what they're talking about, but it sounds cool, doesn't it? And I mean, I'm a trained artist, dude, from many years ago, back before they had software like this. Back before they had software! Jeez! 1974 to 1978. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Painting, Printmaking, and Photography. So I should be highly qualified to understand this, and yet, I don't. But I admit it. Own it. So there, anyway, last item is cool. Facebook Solar Airplane Wi-Fi. You might say to yourself, what? Yes, Facebook's Connectivity Labs project is to create an airplane with a giant wingspan powered by solar panels that will fly above cities and provide Wi-Fi ubiquitously. And you know I love ubiquitous Wi-Fi. I'm all for it. So Facebook is talking about sending a plane up 20 kilometers in the air, flying small circles around cities for months at a time. How cool is that? Anyway, the plane technology comes from Essentia, a UK company that specializes in high-altitude, long-range aircraft. On Thursday, Facebook announced its acquisition of the company for $20 million. So they're pretty serious about this. They bought the whole company. The planes will be solar-powered and fly over suburban areas at an altitude of 20 kilometers above where most commercial airplanes fly. Let's hope so. For more remote areas like mountain ranges, Facebook and Connectivity Labs hope to put satellites up that not only cover the area with network access, but talk between each other via free space optical communication using infrared laser beams. This is sounding so geeky. We're talking a major geek out here. The project bears some similarity to Google's Project Loon. Which, you gotta admit, that's a cool name for a project, right? Loon, which uses untethered balloons flying in the stratosphere to broadcast internet connections. This sounds like something somebody just made up and said, let's see if anybody believes it. Well, I do. Because I want ubiquitous Wi-Fi. The balloons create a mesh network at the same altitude as Facebook solar planes that would occupy and provide 3G speeds. Hopefully the planes won't run into the balloons, or we could have a mess on our hands, and they'll be falling from the sky. And your Wi-Fi will get stronger the closer it comes to you until it finally lands on your house. Which would be bad. Maybe this isn't such a good idea, but it sounds good on paper. So we'll see how this all works out. The bottom line is we want ubiquitous Wi-Fi. I don't care if they radiate it up out of the ground. You know what I'm saying? Just give it to me. So there you go. Hopefully you've been intrigued by these weird ideas. And you've come to the right place for weird ideas, I'm telling you. So remember, until next time, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.